a.m. to 10 p.m. and features woodwind virtuoso Benny Maupin and acclaimed trumpet player Terrell Stafford, who will be joined by numerous well-known Portland musicians, including Rebecca Kilgore, Andy Stokes, LaRonda Steele, and more.
The concert will be held at the Winningstad Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. Again, that's Giants of Jazz and Blues, a benefit concert for the American Music Program. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's 10 a.m. You have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up, Air Cascadia is off today. We'll hear an excerpt from Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. He'll be talking about the disabled nuclear plant at Fukushima and a lawsuit against TEPCO, the company that owns it. At 10:15, we'll hear Locus Focus with host Barbara Bernstein. Today's guest is writer Michelle Niehaus, whose article, Can Coal Ever Be Clean?, appeared in the April issue of National Geographic. At 11 on the Monday Radio Zine, we'll hear a piece from the series Sea Change Radio with host Alex Wise. Today's guest is David Rolfe, president of the Service Employees International Union, or SEIU 775. They'll be talking about the economy versus the environment. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio with host Will Hall. We'll hear voices and visions from outside mental health. And we'd like to extend a big thank you to all our listeners that support this radio station. If you've not yet made your commitment to non-commercial community radio, surf on over to kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. So now let's hear this excerpt from Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and I'm Kevin Pina. Well, there was a recent ruling against Tokyo Electric Power Company, which of course runs the nuclear reactors at Fukushima. There were three meltdowns there, four explosions after the tsunami that hit the coast there. We know that nuclear materials have been getting into the ecosystem ever since, have been seeping into the ecosystem. They've had a difficult time containing it. But now there's a ruling in a court in Japan against TEPCO where there was a woman who committed suicide as a result of severe depression following the incidents there and the release of nuclear and radioactive materials into the environment. Her husband sued TEPCO and actually won a $49 million yen damages case, what's considered a landmark ruling. Now joining us to talk more about this is our good friend Harvey Wasserman. Harvey, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Good to be with you. And it's good to win a victory there, although we have to understand the limitations of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a victory for the victims of the fallout of the radiation, although it is somewhat of a victory for those people who, of course, were affected mentally by this situation, which I imagine were many people too. Disrupted their lives, right? I mean, just destroyed their lives in many instances.
Yes, and you know, it's good, I guess, that the courts of Japan have acknowledged this, and we've seen this now. We haven't seen it at Chernobyl. The Belarus and Ukraine have not been forthcoming in these kinds of settlements. But after Three Mile Island, there was a big flurry of studies of the psychological impacts of the accident. And, of course, they would never study the health impacts because they kept saying, the powers that be kept saying that there wasn't enough radiation to escape to harm anyone, which was utter nonsense. So now we've seen a slight crack in the dam here in Japan in terms of psychological impact. This woman committed suicide, and so many people have had their lives destroyed by the radiation from Fukushima. But the real breakthrough will come, Kevin, when the courts acknowledge physical damage, especially the damage to children through thyroid abnormalities and thyroid cancer. That will be the breakthrough. The psychological, the ruling on the psychological basis is important. There will be tons and tons of money that will have to be paid now by TEPCO or whoever is behind them. Ultimately, I'm sure the government will pay. But the real breakthrough will come when they acknowledge people have been harmed by the radiation.
Now, what about the incidences in the fear of thyroid cancer among children? Where are those investigations at now? I imagine that health authorities must be investigating that and tracking it.
Well, no, they're not. There is a university in Fukushima. The Fukushima Medical University does get some money, but government money, but it's a private institution, and they are doing some research. But, you know, the one thing the nuclear power industry has been very good at over the decades is not researching health impacts from radiation. And so there's really no systematic study going on that I know of conducted by the Japanese officials. But this one university has been studying. It's a sample of 400,000. It's pretty big. Young people born in and around Fukushima and in the wake of the accident, and they are showing a 40 times normal thyroid cancer rate and rate of thyroid abnormality. But this is not technically an official study. And we never got official studies at Three Mile Island either, except to specifically designed to exonerate the plant, and those proved to be wrong. So we'll see how this shakes out, and we'll see if and when the government or TEPCO pays someone who has a thyroid problem. That is going to be a very interesting and difficult struggle. But I will tell you that there has been published a new study by a researcher named Ian Fairley, and I've posted it, a link at nukefree.org, that shows that children around operating nuclear plants, whether they have an accident or not, do suffer a 37% higher rate of radiation-related disease. So sooner or later, this is going to all come into the same play.
And that's the voice of our guest today on Flashpoints, Harvey Wasserman. Harvey is a well-known environmentalist. Nukefree.org is his website. Well, Fukushima, of course, that was March 2011, that nuclear disaster. That's what, 3 years now, more than 3 years?
Yeah, about 3.5 almost.
About 3.5 years. This is a landmark case. Now, of course, she died under, she killed herself terrible. I mean, it had to be clear, deep depression to douse yourself with gasoline and set yourself on fire, to emulate yourself, basically, is what she did, was a form of self-emulation. And as you said, although it's not a victory and it's not acknowledgement of the health impact, it is an opening salvo, if you will, in terms of victims' rights. Now, if this door does get open, and TEPCO is held liable, and there are civil damages that will have to be awarded to the victims of this nuclear disaster, this could ruin TEPCO, right?
Well, it's not clear because they're shielded, just like American utilities are shielded. You know, there's a limit on how much an American utility has to pay in a nuclear disaster. It's basically nothing. I mean, there's a $12.5 billion fund. And beyond that, they're not liable. So TEPCO may have to pay some money, but it will ultimately fall on the government, on the taxpayer. And that's the irony of this, and really one of the dangers, because all these utility companies are operating nuclear plants with no liability. As a corporation, they don't really care if the public is harmed, because they don't have to pay for it. The government pays for it. And those same limitations are in place in Japan. So we can have a state of, you know, a flurry of settlements here. And God knows that Japanese people in and around Fukushima have had their lives destroyed by being forced to leave their homes. This was not a poor area, the area around Fukushima. These people were very well off, many of them, and had good, solid middle-class lives that were destroyed by the disaster of Fukushima. And yet when they sue, they will run up against a limit that TEPCO will have to pay, and that if there is to be money paid to them, it will have to come from the taxpayer, exactly as would happen in the United States. So TEPCO, which made money last year, good big money, cleaning up the disaster they made, will also be immune from these liability settlements.
Well, now, how did this grandiose scheme come about? And why is it that Japan is mirroring policy in the United States when it comes to handling liability and damages for the nuclear power industry?
Well, because it was an American policy. I mean, you know, we rammed the nuclear power down the Japanese throats, basically. And it's all modeled on the American setup, including the fact that the four reactors that exploded at Fukushima are American reactors. They're all General Electric design, Mark I design, and there are 23 of them identical here in the United States. And so the liability protections are also virtually identical. And in fact, Hillary Clinton and others in the American State Department have worked very actively to get India and other countries to emulate our liability limitations on the nuclear power industry. There was an attempt in India, it's ongoing actually, to make American manufacturers liable for any disasters that would be caused by American reactors in India. And the State Department has really fought hard against that on behalf of American reactor makers. I mean, you'd think they'd have learned after Bhopal, which was a Union Carbide operation that killed many, many people, not to do this in India. And there's huge resistance. There have been very large demonstrations in India against nuclear power and against this liability limitation.
Well, what's the thinking behind it, Harvey? What are they thinking of here? Why should they be protected to that extent? I don't quite understand the logic. Why would they do that?
There is no logic. It's all got to do with corporate power. This is the ability of a large corporation pushing a nuclear power plant to force the government to take the liability. And so, you know, people wonder why there doesn't seem to be much concern for safety in the nuclear power industry. It's because they don't have to be concerned.
They have nothing to lose.
They're completely shielded.
Unbelievable.
And a corporation, has only one motivation under the law, and that is to make money. They have no obligation to the health or safety or protection of the public. Quite the opposite. And so if a utility company that runs a nuclear plant can make more money by cutting corners on safety, then they're actually required to do it because they don't have any liability for a lack of safety, but they do have a requirement to make as much money as they possibly can. And I got to tell you that this has become very important in California. even more important now because a major inside Nuclear Regulatory Commission employee, Michael Peck, he's an expert on seismic impacts, has come forward and said that Diablo Canyon, the two reactors west of San Luis Obispo, cannot meet basic safety standards when it comes to earthquakes. Now, since they built I was arrested at Diablo Canyon in 1984, and I plan to be arrested again soon. And I don't have a date certain yet, but I'll let you know. They have been operating knowing that there was at least one earthquake fault nearby that threatened the reactor. And since they opened in 1984, new information has come forward, making it very clear that Diablo Canyon is even more vulnerable to even closer earthquake faults than was believed in the 1980s when these reactors opened.
Now, what size earthquake? I mean, we just had a 6.0 here in Napa County you probably heard about.
God forbid that even a 6.0, which allegedly is within design specifications at Diablo Canyon, but I don't believe it. And, God forbid a 6.0 should hit at Diablo Canyon. But you have earthquake faults. One earthquake fault that has been recently discovered is within 900 yards, within three football fields of Diablo Canyon. And this is absolutely terrifying.
Wow.
So I am now calling it, I'm using this term for the first time here. Diablo Canyon is California's Fukushima. Because, I was in Japan in the mid-70s and people warned against this stuff. It wasn't like we didn't know something could happen at Fukushima. I wrote an article in 1977 that people were saying that Fukushima is too close to an earthquake fault and you can't do this. We've been saying the same thing about Diablo Canyon for 30 years. And it keeps getting worse. The information is more and more terrifying at Diablo Canyon. And you know, the earthquake that hit at Fukushima was 120 kilometers away from the epicenter of the nuclear plant. And yes, it created a tsunami that that did a lot of damage. But in fact, it was the earthquake that really, really shattered Fukushima. And God forbid an earthquake like that could hit at Diablo Canyon. You could have a pile of rubble at Fukushima, at Diablo Canyon, that would radiate far worse than what's happened and continues to happen at Fukushima. And so Diablo Canyon is Fukushima in California, and it has got to shut down. We can't take chances like this anymore.
Hey, thank you so much. Again, that's the voice of my guest, Harvey Wasserman. You can check out his stuff at nukefree.org. Harvey, thanks so much for joining us again on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and you know we'll be back to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Anytime.
KVU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Charles Jordan Community Center in Portland. The Willamette and the Columbia Rivers provide sustenance, recreation, and economic benefits to our region. Yet these rivers are burdened with the legacy of industrial pollution and threatened with the future of toxic contamination. The Two Rivers, One City event will bring a broad network of river users together to share their stake in clean water. The event will include an overview of the various environmental justice issues related to the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup and the oil by rail projects along the Columbia. Again, that's Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th at the Charles Jordan Community Center, 9009 North Foss Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 243